15, beginning in verse 36 today, we've followed the work of the Holy Spirit through the entire book. The church has been formed. It's flourishing. Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, and they saw many come to Christ, but the gospel was opened up pretty widely to the Gentiles, and this caused a little bit of argument among the new Jewish believers, mainly that whether or not the Gentiles had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And then last week we talked about the Jerusalem Council, and they said, no, it's not a matter of salvation. We'll see in today's text, it may be a matter of removing a stumbling block to the gospel, but it's not a matter of salvation. And then we've seen throughout the book of Acts a few places where there's disagreements and arguments, and people have different ideas about how things should happen. I really think it was a Baptist church, because there's always different people have different ideas about how things should happen, right? And I have figured out the problem with churches. I've been at this now. I was 18 years old when I took my first pastoral position. I was an associate pastor at a church, and I figured out I know what the problem is in churches. They got people in them. And we all have our times where we can be disagreeable, or we can be, sometimes we just be mean. I haven't seen that from any of y'all yet, and I hope you haven't seen it from me. I hope you won't see it from me. I hope I won't see it from you, but it just we just act that way sometimes. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be ideas of what we think it should be done this way or that way, and there's going to be sometimes just personality conflicts. It just happens. And we're going to get today in a text where two of the most prominent leaders in the new church there, and that had been on this missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, they had been through things. I mean, they were tight. Barnabas saw Paul whip several times, and one time they thought Paul was dead. They traveled some thousands of miles together on foot and on boat, and they had gone through life together. They'd seen God do amazing things, but there's going to be a disagreement. And I hope that we can learn from this how we can walk through this journey together. But here's what I want you not to miss. Even with disagreement, they stayed about the task. See, the problem comes not when you have disagreements, but when we don't handle them in a right way and we sin in our disagreements. And then when we sin grievously and we lose focus on what matters most, and that's that people need Jesus. And sometimes in churches and oftentimes in individuals, we let people acting like people cause us to stop seeking and chasing after Jesus and to stop telling others about Jesus. Paul and Barnabas are going to have the language here used as a very strong disagreement, but they stay about the task, about telling people about Jesus. I thought there would have been an ovation by now when I watched Donald Trump the other night. There was one about every, 45 seconds or so. Don't tear up my sermon notes when I'm done. All right, y'all right? I don't know why I said that, but praise the Lord. Some of y'all are going to get mad at me. It was going to be a disagreement. But then you need to go tell somebody about Jesus, and you'll feel better. And I'll feel better when I tell someone about Jesus. Conflict occurs even when God is moving. God's moving in amazing ways, and yet there's still going to be conflict. Look at the text, Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." They had been encouraging the believers there in Antioch of Syria. They had brought back news from the Jerusalem Council. Hey, Gentiles, Jesus is enough. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to follow the law of Moses in order to be saved. If you'll do these things that we suggest, that'd be helpful. But the way you're saved is by faith through Jesus. And this had encouraged the church, and it should encourage us that it's not how good you are, how many good works you can do. It's not even baptism, though Addison was obedient through baptism. We ought to be baptized. Baptism does not save you. If it did, you all be wet. I'd just be making sure, y'all, right? But through Christ alone, there's things we ought to do as believers, but we're saved through trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Paul said, hey, we've been here. We've encouraged these guys. Let's go and encourage all the other churches. And they plan to return and encourage believers in all the other cities. But here comes a conflict. Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. This is his cousin, family member, friend. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Acts 12:12, we hear about John Mark's family. Peter was in jail. You remember when Peter was in jail and they were praying and God miraculously released Peter, and then he went to the house and he knocked on the door and Rhoda heard his voice, but she didn't open the door. That was John Mark's mama's house. That was his mom Mary's house. Acts 12:12 says this: when Peter realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And so this was a prominent family in the church. It's also Barnabas's cousin. John Mark is family to Barnabas. Barnabas wants to take him. Paul did not. Barnabas was one that was known for encouraging and grace. John Mark's his cousin, so he kind of wants to make sure he doesn't hurt his feelings. And Paul's like, we've got a job to get done. We got to get it done. I ain't got time to babysit John Mark. And so you've got these two different types of personality. Who was right, Barnabas or Paul? I'd say yes. I don't know that either decision or either motivation was wrong, but they were on two different sides of this argument, this decision. Barnabas says, yes, John Mark needs to go. Barnabas wants to give him another chance. Paul's like, hey, listen, we had to rearrange things. We had to take care of him, send him home to mama, whatever it was. And we don't have time for that. People dying and going to hell. We got to get about the business. And Barnabas was on the other side. Paul and his companion set sail from Acts 13:13. Paul and his companion set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. Paul's remembering, we were going about it, we were roughing it, and we were doing the work, and whatever happened, we don't know exactly what happened. We think maybe he got homesick, maybe he didn't like it. Now Paul was kind of the lead guy and not his cousin. We don't know exactly what the reasoning was, but we know John Mark left the mission, and the mission wasn't done, and Paul's just like, nope, don't have time for it. And Barnabas is like, man, this is my cousin, he's a good guy, we need to give him a break. But they choose to go separately. Look at the text. Verse 39. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul and his companions, Paul and Silas, went one way, and Barnabas and John Mark went the other way. This was Barnabas going home, really. It tells us in Acts chapter 9, 26 and 27, and when Paul had come to Jerusalem, he had attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him. Talking about Paul. For they did not believe that he was yet a disciple, but Barnabas. Listen, this is how close a relationship was. When Paul had gotten saved, Barnabas was the one that invited him into the circle. Barnabas was the one that made way for him to be accepted by the disciples. Barnabas had walked in this entire journey with him. When John Mark had left, Barnabas finished the mission. And yet, this was a point where they could not come to agreement. It was so strong that they chose to go their separate ways. Barnabas takes Mark and sails to Cyprus, which was home. That's where he was from. The Bible tells us in Acts 4, thus Joseph, who was also called by the name Barnabas, the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. I think that's why he's trying to take John Mark, because he's the son of encouragement. A Levite, a native of Cyprus. So that was Barnabas' home, and that if he's John Mark's cousin, John Mark's got family there as well. And so they go to the safer place, but not a bad place to go encourage the gospel. And then Paul and Silas, they go through Syria and Cilicia sharing the gospel. Let me stop here and just give you a couple of suggestions when it comes to conflict. We need to try to resolve conflict. If someone has ill feelings towards you, or you have ill feelings towards someone else, if there's anger or disagreement, we need, in the name of Jesus, to try to come to a resolution, an agreement. If I've done wrong or if you've done wrong, we need to seek forgiveness. And we need to give forgiveness. And as Christians, we should give forgiveness even before it's asked for. But I didn't ask for it. If that's the way you say it, probably you've got a heart issue too. You understand? Or if that's the way I say it, I've got a heart issue. And so we want to make it right. But sometimes the best thing to do for the moment is to agree to disagree. And you can disagree without being disagreeable. Now, I've been a Baptist minister now for 27 years. 28 years. 29 years in April, praise the Lord. I got older just standing right here. Y'all see that? That's what pastoring will do to you. It makes you older just standing right here in the middle of the room. And I've had people be disagreeable with me. I've been cussed in my office. Can I just tell you, not here yet, all right? Not yet. Can I just tell you this? I'm enough of an old country redneck that it's not my nature to respond kindly to such. Y'all all right? But it amazes me in those moments, if I'm walking and filled with the Spirit of God, I can respond with graciousness and kindness and gentleness. That's the Spirit. That is not Tommy. Y'all do know my family is the family that the Dukes of Hazzard is based on, right? I've told y'all this, right? Google Jerry Rushin, R-U-S-H-I-N-G, and the Dukes of Hazzard. That's my family. That's who we are, all right? That's my makeup. Yes, my great-grandfather ran moonshine. No, I haven't drunk it except for medicinal purposes. I'm pretty sure that's what Grandma gave me when I had a cough. I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure. Can I just tell you, after she gave it to me, it was a good night's sleep and no more cough. That's all I know. And so my nature would be to escalate that. You say something like that to me, I respond. I'm not going to cuss, but my nature would be to just kind of bow up. But sometimes we need to agree to disagree. I have found that the words of Proverbs 15:1 are incredible advice. A gentle word turns away wrath. You can diffuse a situation. But oftentimes we're in our flesh, and all I know is that in those instances where I did not respond in a godly way, it certainly didn't help the situation. Sometimes you just need to agree to disagree without being disagreeable. And Paul and Barnabas, we don't know exactly how it all went down. The language shows that it was a strong disagreement. It uses some fairly strong language there, but they went their separate ways. And so we need to try to reconcile. We need to always forgive. And then sometimes we need to separate for the good of the healthiness of the relationship. But we always need to keep open to reconciliation. Because here's what I love about this story. Paul didn't have much use for John Mark during this argument. Barnabas was trying to give him another chance, show grace. I could see from both sides. I'll just tell you, in our office, I'd probably be more like Paul. Joey'd be more like Barnabas. Jason just figured out which one was going to, take him to lunch. I'm just messing. Now I got to make that right. I'm sorry, Jason. I didn't mean to offend you in front of the whole congregation. Yeah, wagon master on Mondays, if you want to know, usually, but... But leave room open for reconciliation. Here's what's cool. I want to show you a couple places where we see what Paul says about John Mark later. Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Somewhere along the line, they were reconciled. Look what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:11. We believe pretty strongly, the evidence is fairly strong. 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul writes right before he dies. And in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul says, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Can I give you this instruction just from this side note of the text? It's important how you start. It really is. How you start is very important, because you can do things in the start that last the rest of your life. How you start a career, how you start your life, how you start your marriage. It's really important. Foundational things, they are important, because it can hamper you. It can keep you from being all that you would want to be. But how you start is important. But how you finish is so much more important. I'd rather start slow and finish strong than start strong and never finish at all. I'd rather start fast and finish fast. We ain't talking about a race. We're talking about a spiritual walk. You're saying, preacher, I don't think you'd start fast or finish fast. But I'm talking about walking with Jesus. I can start fast. It's just about 50 feet later, I'm slowing down, all right, when it comes to physical things. But somewhere along the line, John Mark got it right between him and Paul. Paul and he were reconciled, and they did great work for the ministry. It's not just how you start, but it matters most how you finish. Then 1 Peter 5:12 and 13, the church history tells us we believe that John Mark traveled a lot with Peter. Many believe that this John Mark penned the Gospel of Mark, getting his testimony from Peter as he wrote that gospel. And Peter says this: "By Silvanus, my faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, the church at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son." Not physically, but saw him as a son in the ministry. There's going to be disagreements. My grandma told my daddy one time that her and my pawpaw never argued. My daddy said, "That's not true, Mama." And she argued with him. We disagree sometimes loudly, but we never argue. There's going to be disagreements. There just is. Carol and I know this is going to shock you. Occasionally, Carol Ann and I disagree. Can y'all believe that? The preacher and his wife argue sometimes. Don't look at me all spiritual. You get two human beings, one male that has its whole set of problems, and one female, nobody's ever figured out that side of the human race. Ladies, I'm not being mean. I'm just telling the truth. Amen? Y'all all right? And we have a propensity. How many disagreements have I caused a day? We're going to have times. Can I tell you, sometimes I'm selfish. Don't amen, please, baby. All right. Sometimes I'm stubborn. Kids, don't amen. Takes one to know one. You get two people in a house. How many of y'all married? Amen. Raise your hand. Be proud of it. Amen. There's going to be some disagreements. But we work it out. Why? Because it's worth it. Can I just say, you get two people. Let's get about 600 or 700 Baptists. How do you think that's going to turn out? We got to love one another, love God, stay at the task, seek the lost, make disciples. Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement. God brought reconciliation, and God is, they stayed about the task to go and tell the gospel. The churches are strengthened. Look there at the text, chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. Remember, Lystra's where they left him for dead. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. I'm reading this, I'm like, hold up. We had just talked about in Acts 15, you don't have to be circumcised. But they're talking about you don't have to be circumcised in order to be saved. And yet Timothy is circumcised so that it doesn't become a stumbling block to the Jewish people that he's going to be around that he wants to see come to Jesus. Sometimes we give up our freedom, we give up our comforts, so that we don't become a stumbling block that others might know Jesus. Timothy didn't have to get circumcised in order to be saved. Timothy got circumcised in order not to be a stumbling block to the Jews that they might try to share Jesus with. He humbled himself. He became different to be able to share the good news. They shared the results of the council. Verse 4, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith. Listen to this. I love this phrase. We see it in the book of Acts over and over, at least a form of it. And they increased in numbers daily. How often should the church grow? Daily. Daily. Now here's the good news. We saw several folks come to Christ this week in the office, at the restaurant, at different encounters that we had, and we rejoice in that. I heard testimony of others that got a chance to share the gospel, and God's adding to his church. God is moving, but God grows his church. A church that is not growing is dying. Any organism that is plateaued or declining is really in a measure of dying. We don't grow just because of numbers. We ought to grow because every number represents a soul that Jesus died for. We can't be comfortable with just staying at the status quo, trying to hold on to what makes us comfortable. We need to be charging into the world with the good news of the gospel. This was normal for the church in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Acts 4:4. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Started at about 120 in Acts chapter 1. And now it's about 5,000 by Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And here in verse 5, and they increased in numbers daily, those who were being saved. The churches were strengthened. Then finally in this text, I want you to see how we discern the will of God. Brother Draper preached this just a couple weeks ago, and he said he left it up to me how I would handle it. I think he did a fine job, but some of y'all weren't here and some of y'all slept since then and don't remember what he said. But he talked about how we know the will of God and that God is always at work. Look here at the text in chapter 16, verse 6. It says, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Why would God not allow them to go somewhere they desired to go to speak the gospel? But God was working, and in his working, he said, no, he forbid them by the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, and when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Again, God's working, but in this case, it's telling them that they shouldn't go. And then in verses 8 through 10, so passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go unto Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach, euangelion, to share the good news. Euangelion is the word for evangelism or gospel. The word eu is like, it means good in the Greek. A eulogy is a good, logos is a word, eulogy is a good word. Hopefully when we die, somebody will be able to say a good word about us. The word eu is good. Euangelion, the word angel is messenger or message. Angel is a messenger. It's good message. It's good news. They gospeled the gospel. They preached the good news is what they did, were called to do in Macedonia. God called them to preach. Sometimes God says no. Do you hear that? God's always at work, but sometimes God says no. Ah, man, how come every time I say that I think about Garth Brooks? Sometimes God's greatest gifts are what? They're not unanswered, though. His theology's a little off. Because when God says no, that is an answer. Y'all understand this, right? You pray, God says no, or God says wait a while, or sometimes God says yes. I can't remember exactly who. I remember it was testimony I heard recently that somebody prayed, and 30 seconds later, somebody walked in, and God answered that prayer through another individual. Don't be careful. God, sometimes he answers instantaneously. Instantaneously. Sometimes he answers instantaneously yes, and sometimes he answers instantaneously no, but God still answers our prayer. Sometimes it's wait a while. Sometimes it's wait a long while, but God's always working. Sometimes he says no, and we see that. The Spirit forbid them to go into Asia. The Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go into Bithynia. But can I be reminded and us be reminded of what Dr. Draper reminded us? Jesus always has a better plan. God's plan is always better. He introduced that idea when he preached a couple weeks ago, and in the next 2 weeks, we'll walk through how in the rest of chapter 16, how God's going to shake up different economic classes, different regions geographically, different lifestyles, different types of situations, and how God's going to have a better plan as we see the church born there in Philippi. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says wait a while. Can I tell you, if the Bible forbids it, God's already said no. You don't need to pray about it. You know, some things you don't need to pray about. Should I obey Jesus? The answer is yes. You don't have to pray about it. I mean, if you want to pray about it, you can pray about it. The answer is going to stay yes. If God said it, it's settled. I thought the bumper sticker said, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's settled whether you believe it or not. It's good if you believe it. Some things you don't need to pray about. Should I tell people about Jesus? Jesus told us to tell people about Jesus. We ought to tell people about Jesus. What is it if we don't tell people about Jesus? Y'all know the answer to this, right? It's not like a midterm. It's sin when you disobey God. It's sin. What's sin? Sin is something you do that you shouldn't do. Yes, there's a lot of things that we do that sin, but there's a lot of things also that believers don't do that is sin. When we don't do what God has called us to do. Well, preacher, you want me just to live in conviction? No, I want you to repent and obey, just like I want to repent and obey and do what Jesus has told us to do. There's great joy in trusting and obeying in Jesus. Actually, a song once said, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. How do we respond to this? We're reminded that there's always, listen, I don't know how many are here today. It's somewhere close to 300 if my eyes look right to how we normally see the count. It's a little lower than some Sundays, a little higher than others. There's 300 people in this room. There's 300 Baptists, so that just makes it a little bit more likely there's going to be disagreement. There's 300 folks that we have the way. There's things I like one way, and there's things you like the other. There's people right now that are cold, and there's people that are hot. There's people that think those pews are the most comfortable seats you've ever had, and there's people think that, man, they just, you know, they're awful. The ones that think they're awful are the ones that have the rocking pews. Y'all, right? Some of them rock. Y'all notice that? There's some folks in here probably think you can't really have church without pews. You show me that in the Bible, and then I will agree with you. Why do we think we can't have church without pews? Because that's just the way we've always done it, right? Can I just tell you this? We're not going to get stuck on just the way we've always done it. We're going to be gracious. I've got brothers and sisters that are meeting under trees in Africa today. I'm glad you got a pew. I love that this building is a blessing, but we have a stewardship issue to take care of it. But there's folks that are meeting that will meet, and they're under a tent that might keep the rain out, maybe. I've been in some that you just had to pick the right place in the tent to stand because that's where it wasn't raining. I was in the housing office one time at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, I'll admit I was there because the lady that was the secretary was a pretty lady that I liked to be around. That was before I was married. You all right? Sorry, babe, you know. Hey, she caught me, so she doesn't care anymore. She's good, right? But I was in there, and this guy was fussing up a storm about something to do with his daughter's apartment. And there was several of us there in the office, and he was, I don't know if this translates. In North Carolina, we're talking about he was showing himself. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just, does that translate? He was being mean, all right? And I think he finally realized that there was other people in the room. And he caught himself. He said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude. He was being rude, but I guess he didn't mean to, but he was being rude. He said, I don't mean to be rude. And here's what he said. This tells a lot. I don't mean to be rude. I just want my way. I mean, that's what sin is. That's what our selfishness is. Can I tell you, I normally want my way too. And you normally want your way. But can we just agree together that more than anything, in everything, we want God's way? That we will do all we can to settle any disagreements, but that we will not be distracted by them to the point that we stop chasing after Jesus individually and together, and that we stop chasing after those that don't yet know Jesus individually and together. Because, see, that's what the enemy would want to happen, that we get so inward focused and so disagreeable with one another that we forget there's thousands that need to hear this message right out those doors, right over on that base. I had to remember where I am, right over there on that base, right out in Vernon Parish. And there's millions in the state of Louisiana that we get to partner with other churches to try to reach. And there's hundreds of millions in just the U.S. that need to hear this gospel message. And there's billions. But as Joey shared, there's one that means a lot to you and your family. You're going to hear that phrase a lot. I know many of y'all have been here and this has been done before, but we believe it needs to be done again. Who's your one? If God said you can name a person and by the end of the day they'll be saved, who would that be? I know who it is for some of you. I know who God's placed on my heart, the name that just keeps coming back. Now, I'll tell you, there's about three dozen that get prayed for regularly on my hit. I used to call it my spiritual hit list, but we can't use that kind of language anymore. But I'm praying for them to be saved by name. Some of them are your children. Some of them are your spouses. Some of them are relatives and friends of mine. But there's one that many days I fall asleep praying for, and many days I wake up and that name's on. Who's the one? What if God said, hey, every person you've prayed for by name last week, in the next week, I'm going to cause for them to be saved? Would anybody even get saved? At least we can be praying. At least we can be asking. At least we can have a burden. Because if we really believe what we believe, if they die without Jesus, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Are we praying? Do we have a burden? Don't let disagreements. And right now, really, I'm glad this message came up now because I really don't know of any real disagreements among us. I'm sure some of y'all know of some, but you hadn't come to me with them, so that's good. But let's stay about the task. Let's work through it. Let's stay focused. I'm telling you, a lot of times when we stay focused on the mission, the things that we would disagree about just don't seem that important anymore. Now, if you disagree that we ought to be telling about Jesus, you're just wrong. And there will be no compromise. If you disagree that we should stand on the truth of the Bible, you're just going to have to disagree. You probably want to go to a different church. If you disagree on the temperature, don't get mad at me. I don't set it. Amen? All right? But the things that matter, let's stay focused on those. Paul and Barnabas had a huge disagreement. It was bad. They had been through a lot together. They'd been through more than you and I'd been together. Yet. And yet they felt like they needed to go separate ways over John Mark. But we see that it was reconciled. It was brought back together. Make it right. Leave room for reconciliation. But stay about the task. Boys and girls being saved. Men and women being saved. All of us becoming stronger disciples and making disciples. What is it? Love God, love people, seek the lost, make disciples. Will you pray with me? Bow your heads. What would the invitation for this message be? Obviously, I think one would be if there's anyone that right now, as you sit here, that you're holding a grudge against, that you're holding bitter feelings against, that you're holding ill will towards, you need to ask the Lord to help you forgive them. Preacher, they don't deserve forgiveness. Neither do we. But God grants it to us anyway. Preacher, they haven't asked for forgiveness. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it says they have to ask before we grant it. You need to give them forgiveness. Ask God to show you in your heart if there's any role that you played in the disagreement. Listen, we got to be real in this. I have yet to find many issues at all, whether it be marital or friendships or family, or it was all one person's fault. I've seen some that came really close. Sometimes it's how we respond to the sin of others that becomes our sin. We let how other people act distract us from following after Jesus and staying at the task and walking as men and women of God. Some of you this morning, you just need to let that go. You need to forgive. You may need to go to them and tell them that you forgive them, but most importantly, between you and God, you need to ask God to forgive you and to help you forgive them. Others, you can't tell me the time that you ever attempted to share the love of Jesus with somebody, to share the good news of the gospel. Listen, I don't want you to stay in guilt or conviction, but I do want you to have the burden. And maybe you just need to come to one of us during the invitation and say, listen, I've struggled with this, but I want to. Can you help me? And we'd be glad to come alongside of you and help you, to join you in praying for your one, giving you ideas of how you can pray for them, love on them, share with them the good news of Jesus. Maybe you just need to get in this altar, cry out to God. When's the last time you cried out to God for the soul of someone dear to you or someone that God had brought across your path? See, if we're not careful, we get really self-centered, not really meaning to be, because our lives are busy. I know your lives are busy. My life's busy. We're all busy. But don't let the enemy distract you in your busyness that you lose the main focus, and that's to chase after Jesus and to share our glorious Jesus with others. I'm watching my schedule. Softball and baseball are starting back up. There's a lot of weeks where it's 5 out of 7 nights. We're going to be busy. I'm going to love it because it's going quick. Try not to fuss at any umpires because I'm the preacher. I love Jesus. There's going to be dozens every night sitting there with me that probably ain't going to leave when I start talking to them about how Jesus saves. They're going to see how I'm living out my life, but I'll have opportunity to share. Listen, life's busy, but wherever it takes you, you can take Jesus with you. Don't lose it. How would God have you respond? Don't hold on to bitterness. It's not going to hurt the one you're bitter toward. It's just going to hurt you. Some of you just need to bring some things to Jesus. But some of you, you've seen Addison's testimony through baptism that she's been buried with Christ, raised to walk a new life with Christ. Some of you this morning, you need to be saved. You know you've never done that. You've never surrendered to Christ. You need to be saved. Some of you have been saved, but you've never been obedient in baptism. Baptism doesn't save you, but if you've been saved and not baptized, that's an act of disobedience. You need to declare to the world that you belong to Christ and be baptized. Obey Him in those things, and then He'll call you to other things to obey Him in. But maybe you need to talk with one of us about that. Maybe you just came here this morning with burdens that are crushing you. You need to be reminded of what we talked about last Sunday that's still true this Sunday. Jesus is enough. Bring it to Jesus. As we sing, as we respond, you come meet us here in God's altar. Jesus, we pray that as your word has been proclaimed, that you will draw men and women, boys and girls to yourself and have your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.